So the title of today's sermon is Faith, Healing, and Deliverance. Can we say that together? Faith, Healing, and Deliverance. Amen. So we are going to go straight to Luke, the book of Luke chapter 8. Let's just read again verse 43 to 48. Luke 8, 43 to 48. You can take that from New King James Version or New Living. So I'd like to ask for a volunteer. Luke 8, 43 to 48. Yes, who is ready? Luke 8, 43 to 48. Yes. Luke 8, 43 to 48.
Luke 8, verse 43 to 48. A woman in the crowd has suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm going to thank you very much, dear sister. I'm going to read this story again to you from another book. So, there are four books in the Bible that talk about the life of Jesus Christ: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And sometimes you see similar stories repeated by different writers, but each time they repeat it, each person shows us some extra information. So I want to give some extra information to this, just to pull it together. So Mark, let's see. That was Luke's account. Now let's look at Mark's account. Mark chapter 5. So another person, Mark 5, 25 to 34. What version were you reading? NLT. So go for NLT too. Mark 5. Let me just confirm again. Mark 5, verse 25 to 34. Please follow in your Bible or listen attentively. Mark 5:25-34.
A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman trembled at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over."
Thank you for that. So I want someone else to just read Mark 5, 27 and 28 in New King James. Just to take it a little bit deeper. 27 and 28, New King James. Mark 5. Yeah, someone around you there. Are they ready? Okay, give it to me. Let me get someone else. Mark 5, 27 and 28, New King James. Did you? Yes. Mark 5:27 and 28, New King James. Just to show you take it a bit deeper.
Mark chapter 5 from verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole.
Amen. You know, New Living says she thought. But New King just said what? She said. She just didn't think. She said it to herself. Amen. Okay. Now, let me just piece this down as we look at faith, healing, and deliverance. Now, you know, when he was reading, something came out to me. The Bible said that this woman has suffered from many doctors. We thank God for doctors. Amen? We need doctors. Just like we need cooks and drivers. And what else do we need? What do you need? Yeah? You need the shops. And what else do you need? What do you need? What type of job? What profession? Lawyers and what? Gardeners and what? Anybody need plumbers? We need them. Every job is important. Every talent is important. Every is important. Yeah? And anything that God has given you, you can use for His glory. Amen? You don't have to be a pastor until you are serving God. Yeah? To serve God, use what He has given you for His glory. That's what matters. But I'm just trying to tell you that although doctors are so important, yeah? Because doctors are human, they are also limited. It is possible to suffer from doctors. This woman, for 12 years, she had this problem. Yeah? Of bleeding. Looking for solution from one doctor to another. She spent, if you look at another version, it says she has spent all her living. Yeah? Or another one says that. Another version says she after spending, she became worse. Did you see that? He says she became worse. That is suffering. Yeah? She suffered from many doctors. You can suffer. You know, there's some days ago I was reflecting, and I thank God, you know, on my time in the hospital. I was just reflecting. It was yesterday. And I thank God that because on a particular day, on Thursday, I made up my mind, I'm going home. It was my decision, nobody's decision. I told my wife then, she was not listening. Like, what are you saying? I said, I'm going home tomorrow. And when I woke up, because I got to that stage, I felt that they're no longer helping me. Okay? I could move back, I could do everything. It was my blood pressure, it was coming down, but I just knew that it's not going to come down to, you know, perfect here. I'm not going to spend another 1 week here. Everything is working. I don't have any reason to be hospitalized. Yeah, I've already gone down from the critical point. But it's not going to come down to perfect point, yeah, while I'm in hospital. When I'm not even moving about. So I said, I'm going home. Yeah? And in fact, actually, we're increasing my medicines in the wrong direction. They're giving more and more of something that was just not compatible with my body. So the blood pressure will go down, then it will shoot back right up after 3 hours. So I was just suffering for nothing. So I'm going on. My wife, like, what are you saying? She was not really convinced, but I had made up my mind. I woke up in the morning. You know, when the nurse greeted, I said, I'm going home today. I told her, I'm going home today. I had to tell her because I knew that if I tell her, she would tell the consultant. So by the time the consultant came, and I think God gave him wisdom. You know, he just said, look, I don't think we're going to be able to help you anymore. You've had enough. You will go home. And that's how I was discharged on January 6th. Amen. So what I'm saying so is that, you know, you need more than just doctors. You need doctors. Yeah? But more than doctors, you need the power of God working in your life. Otherwise, you can just be, you know, in a place where you're not making progress. Yeah? The doctors are trying their best, but they are limited. Amen? But God is unlimited. So God is unlimited. So that's why you cannot just live, yeah, by facts. Yeah? You have to learn to live by what? By faith. Bible says that the just shall live by what? my faith. If I didn't make up my mind that day, I spent another 1 week in hospital, and I would have missed Brother Nick and Sister Eden's wedding. Yeah, because it happened that week. Seriously speaking. Yeah, and I would have just wasted that week. I would have wasted it. I would have spent another week experimenting. After the week, they say, well, we can't help you. It's not like you're really making progress. You have to go. So I disturbed myself a week earlier. Amen? By faith. And of course, it's not a foolish act. You know, my blood pressure is getting better and better and better. Amen? Better and better and better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this woman, for 12 years, she's been moving from one doctor to another, looking for solution to her constant menstrual bleeding problem. Yeah? It was abnormal. Yeah? To be bleeding all the time is what? Don't accept it as normal. Amen? If you see something showing up in your body that is not right, don't embrace and say, ah, that's who I am. No, that's not who you are. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The God you are serving is not so weak that he cannot help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, the world is broken. Yeah? The world is what? Broken. Yeah? In this world, you have the devil. You have evil spirits. You have bad people. You have germs. You have diseases, sickness. Yeah? So, there are evil things in the world. So it's not everything that comes your way that is from God. You see what I mean? You are living in a corrupted world. You are living in a broken world. Yeah? Do you see what I mean? So it's not everything that comes your way that is God's will for you. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Yeah? Because you have your adversaries. Hallelujah. So, but the way you're going to stand against your adversaries is to live by what? By faith. So you see, this woman came. But I want to show you something about that story. Yeah? Can you read to me again? Verse 7, Mark 5, 27 and 28. I want to teach you some principles of how to use your faith for healing and for deliverance. When I say deliverance, I mean to be free of an oppression. To be free of something that is oppressing you, whether physically or emotionally or whatever. You can use your faith to be free. And I want to show you the principles from this story. Okay, so Mark 5, 27 and 28 again. New King James. Someone else? Now it's your turn.
When she heard about Jesus.
When she heard about what?
Jesus.
Jesus. Now, that's a principle there. Because Romans 10, 17 tells us that what? Faith comes by what? Yeah. By hearing. Hallelujah. She heard. What did she hear about Jesus? Imagine. Use your imagination. What did she hear about Jesus? What could she have heard about Jesus? What could she have heard about Jesus? That is what? Like, that is it, people. She must have heard. Somebody must have told her that, do you know that Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, you know, yesterday? Yeah? Do you know that Jesus healed, you know, the lame man beside the pool? So she heard about what Jesus had done. So faith comes by what? Hearing. If she never heard, she will never approach Jesus. But she's heard that Jesus is doing this. So now, faith came that Jesus can do it for me. There's a difference between Jesus can do it and Jesus can do it for me. Let me explain that. Jesus can heal. Can Jesus heal? Mm-hmm. Of course. Can God heal? Can God heal any disease? Mm-hmm. Can God solve any problem? Mm-hmm. Of course. If your God cannot solve any problem, you need to find another God. Amen. Yeah? Our God is almighty. Hallelujah. Is what? Do you know what's the meaning of almighty? What's the meaning of almighty? The Hebrew word is El Shaddai. Yeah? Actually, the Hebrew word is Shaddai. The El is just God. What's the meaning of Almighty? When you say the God is Almighty, I'm talking about Jehovah, Yahweh. I'm not talking about any other God. He's Almighty. What does that mean?
The one who is more than enough.
He is enough. He is Jireh. Hallelujah. He is enough for any situation or what? Circumstance. Nothing is bigger than him. His capacity. Yeah? He's Almighty. And any other meaning of Almighty, anybody? When you say God is Almighty. He's what? He's omnipotent. He's all potent. He can. Hallelujah. So God can. But that is not what will give you a miracle. Amen? God can. But see the word. See the word upside down. Why can't God do something? Have you ever thought about it? Why can't God just come down and fix the word? Like you fix coffee for your friend. Why? Why can't God? Any answers? Anybody? Why can't God just fix everything? Put everything right. See? He gave us what? A will. So you have a say. Do you have ever thought about that? If you have a will, that means what? You have a say. You know that you're like, you are bringing up a child, yeah? Baby. Wiping nappies. Changing nap. Anybody who's gone to that circle? Yeah? Changing clothes. Yeah? Then after a while, they grow up. And I say, do this. They say, no. I want to do that one. Have you experienced that? Yeah? That's what it means to have a will. Yeah? Even God knows the best thing for you. He knows what is perfect. But he still gave you a say. Can you imagine? If he didn't give you a say, you'd be a robot. He would just program you. Yeah? To walk to town center in the morning. From there, walk to church. You don't have any church. You just be walking. Turn right. Turn left. He would just use... You know the remote control, yeah? Then you used to play cars. You just turn it right. You turn. It give you a will. Hallelujah. Yeah? That will is good. Because it means that you have freedom. But it's also bad because it means that you can make bad word decisions. So it's a risk. It's the risk of love. Yeah? You see, love is not possible without free will. You can't love if you didn't have a will, a free will. You're just a robot. Yeah? Imagine your robot wakes up in the morning and says, I love you. Does that mean anything to you? A robot that's been programmed to say, I love you, Pinky. You want it from a real person. Yeah? And when a real person tells you, you want to be sure that they mean it. And not just... reciting something, you know, you won't be sure that, do you mean what you said? Hallelujah. And the same thing, God wants to be sure that you mean it when you say that you love him. That what means a lot to him. Amen? So, the reason why God cannot just fix anything is that he needs your cooperation. Yeah? He needs your will. Hallelujah. When your will cooperates with God, we call that faith. Faith is your ability to trust God. Let me change it. Faith is your ability to hold on to God and not let go. Faith is your ability to say, you know what? God, I believe you. And I'm downloading this content. Anybody know about downloading? Amen? Faith helps you to download from God. Hallelujah. But it takes you being firm, yeah, and steadfast. Because sometimes it's like warfare. You know? Sometimes it's like what? Warfare. Amen? So faith comes by hearing. So she heard about Jesus. Then what happened? What happened? She said, please follow this way. What was? You know, some people hear, yeah, they will just say, well, Jesus did for them, but my own case is too difficult. I mean, I have been here 12 years. Yeah? So, my case is different. I've gone through many doctors. I've wasted so much money. Let me just manage myself at home. But the Bible says, she said to herself, she had not yet met Jesus. She was at home now. She said to herself, yeah? It's like she used her imagination. So she has believed that Jesus can heal her. And she has said, you know what? What I'm going to do is that if I can go out, if I can reach him and touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. This is not Jesus. This is not Jesus talking to her. She has not even seen Jesus. She has not even seen Jesus. She's saying, she's already believed to the point that if I can touch his clothes. No. I need an example. Who can I use now as an example? I need two ladies now. The older lady, younger lady. Younger lady is Agnes. Come out. Sometimes it's good to see an example. Let me show you. Come on. You've been invited. What is this? So, the older lady I need an older lady from this section. Who's going to volunteer? Okay, then, please, come on. It's okay. I'm not going to do anything funny to you. Okay? Amen. So, let's assume that, you know, she's Jesus. Yeah? And this is the person approaching Jesus. Thinking that all I need to do is touch the fringe of her clothes. And usually that was going to happen from... So go and try to touch the fringe. You're touching the fringe of her clothes. Just touch it ever so lightly. Thank you. Please put your hands together for them. Thank you. You see that? Yeah? You see that? I want to show you something from that story that you will see what I mean. So let's go back to Luke 8. And let's read... Luke chapter 8. Go just stay in Mark 5. And let's read verse 28 to 31. New King James Version. Mark 5, 28 to 31. New King James. Someone was not read. Where's the mic? Yeah, thank you. Okay, Mark, this row. Mark 5, 28 to 31. Who's ready? New King James.
For if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And Jesus said immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, Who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me?
I just want to show you something, because, you know, sometimes you read it. I've known this story for many years, many. But I want to show you, just take you deeper. So she said to herself, this is what she's going to do. And she goes out. But when she goes towards Jesus, what happens? That Jesus was surrounded by what? A crowd. Yeah, and they were actually New King just use the word thronging, meaning that it was tight crowd, and they were pressing at him. They were not going for him; they were just around him, and it was so tight that, you know, when you're in a tight, have you ever been in a tight crowd anywhere? You know, you will hit somebody, and somebody will hit you. Yeah, they were pressing at him. So basically, in terms of bodily speaking, he was feeling their push. It's not a matter of just they were touching his clothes, but actually, he was feeling their push. So, firstly, how does this woman get to Jesus? Through the crowd. There was a crowd around Jesus. And it was tight crowd, such that he was feeling their... It's like everybody, it's like a wave. Yeah? How did this woman get there? Any imagination? Anybody use their imagination? I'm showing you faith. How faith works. Faith works that this woman heard about Jesus. Then she left. She said to herself, before meeting Jesus, that I'm going to touch his what? His garment. There's no problem. I think it's a noise. I'm going to touch his garment. And when I touch his garment, I will be healed. She's already proposed that at home. She has not talked to Jesus. She has not talked to anybody. She has believed to a point that what I just need, that if only I can touch his clothes, I will be healed. And this after 12 years of no solution. Yeah? So she comes out towards where Jesus is, and she sees a crowd. But what was our plan? What was our strategy? To touch what? So how is he going to get there? Yes? Any ideas? Just suggest my ideas. So you're out there, you're trying to touch Jesus' clothes, and there's a crowd around him. And you know that your plan is to touch. So how will you get there? And go with the young girl.
I was gonna say like she probably like crouch down, crawl on the floor.
She's gonna crouch down what? Crawl on the floor. Yes, any addition? I like that. Any addition to that? I like that actually.
Probably have to stretch her arm out really far to get between the people.
Yes. But it depends on how big that crowd is, isn't it? But she's at some point she's stretched. Technically she was not right next to Jesus before touching. Yes? Any addition? I just want to stretch your imagination to see.
A digression though. Maybe given her condition and back in the day, people didn't want to touch her because she was a woman with issue of blood and they just let her pass through. I don't know.
But that's it, they knew.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it is a digression, but I would imagine they don't know. Because if they know, yeah, they won't block her from coming in to Jesus. Okay? So, yes? More?
They've just looked at how the crowd they were flowing,
mm-hmm.
and then you can look at a strategical point whereby you can just have that opportunity to touch.
Yeah, so she was like very strategic, just watching for the moment and diving. Okay, now let me just clarify that point again about whether they will have less room for her. Obviously, if we know from this story that Jesus said, "Who touched me?" So it was discreet, you know. If Jesus could say, "Who touched me?" That means that nobody around knew or gave room for her, at least in that story, yeah? Otherwise, if they did, then they would know who touched me. Okay, but coming back to what I was saying, so let me just merge everything I've been said together, yeah? So this woman, because of her condition, first and foremost, she's not going to go out and let anybody know that she has a condition, yeah? And given that thought now, we know very well that she crawled in. It's discreet. Yeah? It's in spy mode. Crawled in. Yeah? She's going right on her feet, on her knees. Yeah? Crawling through that crowd. Yeah? And also, she stretched her hands before reaching Jesus. Because she doesn't need to be side by side of Jesus. I want to let you know that she didn't touch Jesus' body. All she did was what? The tip. It's not even his full clothes. It's just the tip of his clothes. Amen. Are you with me? Now, what am I trying to say? That is faith. Faith is faith, yeah, reaches out. Faith, your faith, for your faith to give you a breakthrough, yeah, it needs to go the extra mile. Some people say to me, but I'm praying. Why didn't God answer my prayer? Yes, you're praying is a good thing, but you're not going the extra mile. What is the proof that you're going the extra mile? You make some sacrifices. Yeah? Leaving home is a sacrifice. Crawling to the crowd is an humiliating. Yeah? It's not humiliating. Sacrifice. Yeah? Stretching. To touch. It's like Mission Impossible. You have never met Jesus. You are not Jesus' disciple. You are not Jesus' friend. How dare you say you will touch his God? How will that? It's like you saying, for example, like, you know, that I'm going to touch the Prime Minister's shoes. You propose your house in Basingstoke that tomorrow I'm going to Westminster and my goal is to touch the Prime Minister's shoes. How likely are you to succeed? You see that it was Mission Impossible, but she went for it. She went for it. That's faith. Like she believed. And she what? She went for it. Hallelujah. The way faith works is that many people here may not get what you will get. Many people might have been declined. But if you are determined, yeah? If you are focused, yeah? If you keep reaching out. Keep reaching out for it. If you are willing to believe beyond the average level of believing, there's an average level of believing. People say that, you know, forget it. It's not possible. But if you are willing to reach out beyond the normal reach, are you with me? Then I want to show you something in this story. Go to the verse 34. Read verse 34 again. Mark 5:34. Yes. Mark 5:34. Let's have two versions. So that will be what version? King James. And then let's have New Living after. Okay. Mark 5:34.
And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.
Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Yes. And New Living.
And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over.
Amen. Come on, say amen with you. Amen. Now, let me explain something to you there. What healed the woman? It wasn't at touching Jesus. The crowd was touching Jesus better than she did. The crowd not only touched Jesus close, they pushed him. Like, they sewed him side by side. You see that? Yeah, there was more contact. So it wasn't the contact alone. The crowd had more contact, but God nothing. Yeah? Because they are just on average level. But the woman, the contact she had was a contact of faith. She has purpose. I want to show you the intentional nature of faith. You purpose. Hallelujah. You say in your heart, I believe and that this is what I am going to receive. You have to. It's so narrow, very narrow purposing. Because when you do that, you begin to see possibilities that is not available to anybody. So the question that when you say, when I'm in faith, that what am I saying? And what am I willing to sacrifice? Yeah? To get to where I want to get to. Of course, when I say sacrifice, I'm talking about in righteousness. You're not going to go and sell yourself to the devil, yeah? Because you want to be healed. I don't want healing from the devil. If he gives you, he'll give you something else. Let me say, if you go to the devil for healing, I'm talking about if you go to witchcraft or voodoo or whatever other power for healing. Yeah? You know what the devil does? It takes away your problem and gives you 10. The 10 will not manifest immediately. It's in a package. Yeah? And when you're leaving, I say, oh, I'm okay. He has already borrowed you 10. 10 little, they're in baby stage. Yeah, it comes with the package. So as you're walking away thinking you are free, give you some time, you will begin to see more problems. You don't want that. You don't want that. Yeah? But when you go to God, yeah, you have to propose. For example, if you propose, I say, look, you know, for example, like I say to myself, high blood pressure is not going to dominate me. I'm not going to let it. It doesn't depend on anybody. It doesn't depend on my wife or a doctor. Yes, I will not let high blood pressure dominate. I will dominate it. Hallelujah. As a January, that's the mind I'm leaving the hospital with. I will what? I will dominate it.
Oh, he might have crept in secretly.
No problem. But now that I'm aware, it's not going to dominate. Hallelujah.
You propose. You propose. And when you propose that, yeah, you give it your attention spiritually.
Hallelujah.
You give it your attention spiritually. You believe God for it until you download it.
You know, if you want to download something from a website, what do you do? What is the process of downloading? Let me see how I'm doing with time. I want to download. What can you download? What good thing can you download? Anybody ever downloaded a good thing? Example. What? You want to download music. Yeah? Bible app or good music, godly music. What is the process? What's the process of downloading? Let me go to say. Anybody? Hey, let me ask my friend there. If you want to download gospel music on your phone or Bible app, what's the process?
You search it up.
You search it up. Where?
On a App Store.
App Store. Thank you. Then?
Then you search up the... Wait, what do you mean music?
Yeah, well, the specific. You have a specific music in mind.
Oh.
Godly music, yeah? Have you ever downloaded anyone? Any godly music or any godly app?
You have to like the Bible.
Anyone, yeah. Yeah. So what was the process again? You search it up, You go to the App Store, then what happens?
You search up the name Bible.
Then what happens?
When it comes up.
Yeah, and then?
You press the button.
And then?
You wait for it to download.
Hallelujah. It's that simple. You have to focus, you have to be intentional about it. You have to set your heart on it. You have to believe and go for it. Hallelujah. You have to believe and go for it. You have to go to the App Store. Hallelujah. It's not just mouth talk. Hallelujah. Yeah. He said, if I can touch the fringe of his garment, not everybody. It doesn't matter if 1 million people are touching his garment and they are not healed. And by the way, that day, a lot of people touched his garment and they were not healed. But the difference with her is that she had proposed. And that proposing is with belief. Hallelujah. You propose in your heart, this thing that is showing up, I'm not going to let it dominate me. You change your mental picture. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself always struggling with migraine? I'm just going to say, you have to challenge it. You know, it's like a giant you have to challenge. I said, no. I refuse. Yeah, I refuse to be someone who is always under migraine. I'm giving an example, of course. I'll give my own example. Yeah? I begin to see that, look, you know what? I will live free of migraine. I talk to God. I say, God, migraine, yeah, always troubling me, does not glorify you. And I just refuse it to continue. So I'm proposing. Then I talk to God. I believe that you can heal me. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that you can heal me. And then I will reach out for it. So I want to show you that it was not the touching of the clothes that healed this woman. What healed her? It was a faith. You see, there are 2 types of healing. There's 1 type of healing where Jesus touches you and releases power into you, and you are healed. Yeah? Who healed you? Jesus. He came. It's in the Bible. You read the story, and he touched them. Yeah? Like Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus went. She was sick of a fever, I think. And then Jesus went, and Jesus touched her. And she was well. Yeah? It was Jesus healing her. But in this case of this story, it was not Jesus healing this woman. She tapped the power. I don't get it. It was not a matter of Jesus released the power to her. No. Jesus did nothing. She came and what? And took it. Can you see the difference of what I'm trying to say? So, there's one step whereby you say, look, God, heal me, God, heal me, God, heal me. You are waiting for God to do something. But God can. Yeah? God works like that. But we know that he doesn't do that all the time for everybody. That's why sometimes you ask some people preaching and say, you know, you cannot be sure that God will heal you because God does what he likes. That's one type of healing where you're just depending on the mercy of God. And his mercy is his prerogative. Yeah? Just like you can decide to lift your hand and you can decide to fold it. Yeah? It's his prerogative. But the second type of healing is where you go with your faith and you tap. You know, when we're growing up, there's something, I'm not recommending it, but when we're growing up in Africa, there was something called palm wine. It's taken from the palm tree. So you have this people, they climb up the tree and I don't know the exact process, they find a way of cutting the tree at some particular specific point and then the juice, so they call them palm wine tappers. They tap the wine from the tree. You know why? Because the wine is already in the tree. The healing, yeah, the deliverance, the breakthrough is already in God. It's already in Jesus. It's a full package. I made this one. It's a full package. Yeah? So either I'm going to say, God, release it, or I'm going to go there and what? Tap it. But to tap it, I need faith. Hallelujah. I need what? I need faith. So let me finish on this. And let's see. I think time has run out. So we have 4 minutes. Go to Mark 11, and I want to show you how you can tap. You know, how you can use your faith to tap the power of God. You know, someone said, oh, but if Jesus was here right now physically, I'll be healed. I agree. But Jesus is here spiritually. His power has not changed. The power of God has not changed. Has it changed? No. The power of Jesus has not changed. So, you see, if it was based on what God will do for you directly, then you will just have to keep waiting for his mercy. But if it's based on tapping, faith is spiritual. If I can master faith, then I can tap. I don't have to. It was not the touch of the garment that made her whole. It was what? It was the faith. She touched Jesus with faith. It wasn't her hand that made her whole. It's the faith that she used to touch that garment that released the power. Whereas others were touching and nothing happened. So Mark 11. 20 to 26. Let me explain that and we'll finish there. Yes? Who has the mic? Mark 11:20-22. Who would like to read? Yes. Mark 11:20-26. New King James, please. Mark 11:20-26. Please follow.
Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God.
Have faith in what? In God. Continue.
For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.
Yes, 25 and 26.
And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses.
Amen. Let's first of all deal with this issue. Jesus has given us some keys about how to get your faith to work, but he gives a warning. Yeah? When you want to operate faith like that, if you have anyone, yeah, that you have what? A quarrel with. Yeah? They've offended you. What? Forgive. But it tells you the reason. He said, if you don't forgive, yeah? Yeah? What will happen? If you don't forgive, please, can you tell me what will happen if you don't forgive?
Your Father in heaven.
will not forgive you. But let me say it in my own interpretation. If you don't forgive, your prayer will not work. That's what he's telling you. He has warned you now. If you don't forgive, your prayer will not. It will not work. So if you want to be sure that you want to operate this level of faith, yeah, two things. Be quick to repent and be quick to forgive. That's what we call the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. The breastplate of righteousness as part of your armor is your ability to quickly repent and quickly forgive. So yeah, you are staying in righteousness. You see, if you are not quickly forgiving or quickly repenting, yeah, your righteousness is compromised. You've opened a door for the devil to operate. You know, your faith will not work the way it should work. Yeah? Be quick to repent and be quick to what? Forgive. Now, what was the key? He said, if Jesus spoke to a fig tree, he went to that fig tree and was expecting some fruit. And when he got there, there was no fruit. So Jesus cursed it and said, as on today, nobody's going to eat from you. This happened in an evening. So in the morning, disciples go there and they see that the fig tree has dried up from the roots. They're not saying that, oh, master, the fig tree you caused has dried up for the roots. Jesus replying, what do you expect? What did you expect? You were there when I did it. So what did you expect? Do you expect to go there and meet it still there? Yeah? That's why I say that have faith in God. If you have faith in God, yeah, you will learn to issue commands to your situation. I'm not talking about you commanding Star Sharon. She has free will. You have free will. Yeah? For you to be able to command that, there needs to be a form of relationship. Maybe you're at our boss at work. Even if you're a boss at work, there's a limit to how much you can command. Because you're not a kid. Are you with me? But I'm talking about your situation. I'm talking about that challenge you're facing that is trying to dominate you. Look, it will dominate you if you don't dominate it. Please don't your neighbor smile at them. Say it will dominate you if you don't dominate it. So if you don't want it to dominate you, you have to dominate it. Do you understand? And the way you're going to dominate it is that you're going to give it some command. That fig tree is not going to die if you don't command it and say, you know, be gone. That's why Jesus had to them and said, whoever says to this mountain, that mountain is your problem, it's your situation. It's not my mountain. Your mountain is your own problem, not my problem. I don't know about it. I don't know about Mount Everest. Do you know about Mount Everest? Do you know about Mount Everest? Is it your problem? It's not your problem. It's not your problem. Yeah. Your own mountain is what you are facing right now. Yeah? You have to speak to it. You have to speak to it and say, be removed. But you see, the basis of your speaking is your faith in God. It's not that you're a superhero, but because of your faith in God, you're going to speak to it. But that's not all. That's not all because, you know, we abuse this thing. You have to believe in what you are saying. Hallelujah. You know, when you believe what you are saying, you say, I'm going home today. Yeah, sometimes it takes a little bit of being crazy. I'm not talking about very crazy, yeah. Just a little crazy. You speak to it and say, be removed. Or let me show you another way to do it. Say, I refuse to remain like this. You can start like that. You can just start like that. It's okay. Yeah? Look at that challenge in your life. Whether it's physical or emotional or financial or whatever. Or maybe there's a pattern repeating itself in your life that is negative. Look, don't just keep praying and begging God about it. That's one way. The other way is to tap it. I refuse to remain like this. I'm speaking to my mountain. Amen? But the key now is, Bible says that when you speak, yeah, you must believe and not what? Doubt. See, when you start doubting now, you're just, all what you're saying has no meaning anymore. Yeah? Start believing. Start believing. What did I say? Start believing. That your belief is based on your faith in God. Hallelujah. Your faith in God can give you a miracle. I refuse to be dominated. I'm not ashamed to tell you. I refuse to be dominated by blood pressure. I'm dominating it. I am. I am increasingly dominating it. My message is reducing. It has been all year. And it will continue. I refuse to let it dominate me. Hallelujah. I refuse to let it dominate me. Say with me. Say, I refuse to let sickness or disease or oppression or depression or failure dominate me. I refuse. Say with me, I refuse to let the devil dominate me. Hallelujah. The Bible says that you should not doubt, but believe that those things you are saying. So I'm asking you, what are you saying? Someone says, I'm hopeless. I can't say it. I'm sorry. You can like say it. It's okay. So I'm joking. Okay, I'm joking. Okay, no problem. I can't say it. What are you saying? There are some words I can't say. I can't tell you I'm hopeless. I can't do it. Amen. I'm not hopeless. Are you hopeless? I'm not hopeless. Hallelujah. 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 As you begin to speak what you believe, yeah? Say it in the day, say it in the night. Believe in it. Believe in it. Yeah? Power will flow from God into you. You know, see that what happened to that woman? The woman touched the hem with her faith, then power. It's like technically, but not exactly. It's like she stole it from Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus said, who touched me? Meaning that who gave you permission? Amen. Hallelujah. That's what your faith can do in God. It can release something to you that goes beyond the ordinary. Let's rise up and pray. And it's available to you. So everything is not like begging. If you are convinced that what you are seeking, yeah, is godly, is righteous, is already provided for in God, you can use your faith to tap it. Yeah? From God. It's like you just open it. The water is already there in the tap. Just open that tap and take what you need. And you do that by faith. You do that by believing. You do that by refusing to doubt. You do that by refusing to let that problem dominate you. And then you do that by sacrificing also, going the extra mile. Your faith is not alive until you begin to take steps of faith. Yeah? Someone wants to touch them of Jesus' garment, but they're not going to leave their home. Yeah? You know, that woman had every reason to be ashamed of herself. Yeah? To feel like, I don't want anybody to see me. But she can't be bothered. I have a mission. Yeah? I don't care. Until I get what I want from the Lord. That's the attitude that gives a miracle. Talk to God today. And what I want to talk to God is that, tell him what you are willing to believe him for. Hallelujah. If you want to experience God, his power in your life, you must be willing to believe God for something. Those who see miracles are those who believe. Otherwise, you will just be at the mercy of doctors. And of course, they will do their best, but sometimes you can suffer many things. And you don't want to be there. You want to be at the position whereby you are dominating the problem. And that belongs to you. So Jesus said, have faith in God. Whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed. And the key word is, does not doubt in his heart, but continues to believe that these things I'm speaking, these commands I'm giving, will come to pass. The Bible says, you will have whatever you say. That's the way the power is tapped and released. It belongs to you. Because of Jesus. He is Jireh. Jireh is referring to the place of the cross where Jesus paid the price so that we can have the victory. Thank you, Lord, for that victory. In Jesus' name, we are praying.